Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your love, for the incredible gift of your love and your Son who gave all for us. Lord, we know how much you loved us. We know how much your Son loved us, and you continue to pour that love out towards us, that we would come alive, that we would know ourselves to be loved, and that we would have life abundant. Lord, I pray that you would renew this gift in us tonight, that we would come to you, that we would receive from you, that we would take and eat and drink, that we would be one with you and one with each other, and that we would continue with you throughout these 3 days. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So we begin the 3 days of everything that our Lord looked forward to, the whole reason that he came, and it's about to enter the most painful part of the purpose of his coming. And yet he says that he earnestly desired to share the meal, which basically launches him into his suffering. He earnestly desires. It's a burning desire that he has to share himself with us and to share the meal of the Passover with us before he suffers. I think for us, it's not just so much that he wants us to be with him in the midst of his suffering. He does want that. Partly he wants it because he wants us to be with him as his friends. We want our friends near us when we are suffering. He has a real affection for us and expects also, because we are friends, that we would have an affection for him. He wants this. But he also really wants all of the healing and the goodness that he has in mind for you to be completely rendered over to you. By really being with him, by really fully entering into the communion of his body and his blood, of his suffering, he brings healing for everything that hurts us and ails us and causes us to fear. He wants us to have all that healing. He wants us to take it in. He wants it to come into the very depths of our bodies and our souls and our spirits. He wants us to completely metabolize it. He's been talking about this with the disciples in so many different ways. He wants us to fully enter in. And he makes this invitation for us to come and to receive all of that fullness. And the question is, will we? Will we come? Will we come with all of what we are and who we are, all of our fears, all of our pain, to be with him in the midst of his? Will we come entirely? Peter says, yes, I will. I'll be with you the whole way through. It doesn't. It strikes me as part of the Lord's provision of grace that he knew every single disciple would scatter, that they would run on these feet that he's just washed. He wants them to know that his grace will cover even that. But his protestations aren't enough to keep him with the Lord in the midst of all the goodness that he was going to do. Peter slept through part of it. Peter denied him. Peter ran. He scattered. Judas was there, wasn't he? He actually partook of the meal. He actually had his feet washed. Something was wrong with his heart, though. His heart wasn't fully there. He was listening to his own ideas, perhaps. It's really clear, though, that he begins to listen to the enemy. It says Satan enters into his heart to betray the Lord. He's not fully there. And it ends up in a disaster for Judas. The Lord knows all of this, and he wants us to enter in fully. He wants to be that lamb who takes away all the sins, all of them, the sins of the entire world. It's interesting in our Old Testament passage, isn't it, that that lamb that provides the blood on the post, that is the sign that God sees so that they pass over, so that he passes over. It's interesting that that lamb is eaten in its entirety. The Lord is giving over everything that he has. He is the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And the household for the lamb, that lamb, which is Christ, the household is God's household. And he's going to bring us through everything if we will let his work completely cover us, so that we can move from death to life, But he wants us to be with him completely. As he's given completely to us, he wants us to be completely with him. Disciples, you know, they maybe get some of it, but they're confused, as they often are, this side of the Holy Spirit, this side of the Lord's resurrection. And they start arguing, well, they get worried that maybe they're the worst, first of all. And then the second thing that they seem to be concerned about is who's the best. They're not fully with him. They're so occupied with their own self-preoccupations, and where do I stand, and where am I positioned, that they can't fully be with him. And he's like, I want you to be with me. I'm going to make you move into the proper position. He even says, I'm going to make you sit at my table and judge the 12 tribes. He's inviting all of us into this reality. And they're occupied with a way of thinking that really is not open. It's turned inward. But he says, you're to be a servant like I was. He showed part of the salvation when he got down. The first way that he falls to the ground is on his knees in service. The second way that he falls to the ground is when he dies on the cross. And it's so that he would bear much fruit and not be alone, but actually be with us, so that we can be with him. It's the whole point. He does not want to be alone because he wants us not to be alone. We're so inwardly occupied. We're alone in those moments. He wants us not to be alone. He wants us to fully be with him. He's been saying, look, I have to wash you first, then come in fully. Otherwise, you can't have a part of me. And he washes the disciples. They come in, and then the meal that he wants to share with them, this communion, he's been saying in John, he says, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you don't have life in you, but I want you to have life in you. I want you to have all that I've come to bring. But they're occupied with who's great and who's terrible. They're occupied with the wrong kind of worldly judgment. He wants them to be judges, but not in this way. He even says you should be as the youngest. One of the things that happens in John's gospel is that soon as the Lord identifies his betrayer, who's most occupied with his own resources, which in the gospel of John, that's a significant way of putting it, because he says of the devil speaks from his own resources. Jesus only ever speaks from resources above. He listens to the Father, and he tells everything the Father that says, and he is faithful to that communion. And he wants us to be faithful to that same communion, but that's not what Judas does. He wants us to listen the way a child listens to the Father and the way the child seeks the Father's approval. You should be as the youngest, he says. So in John's gospel, right after Judas leaves, he leaves the communion. He goes into the night. John has Jesus starting to address us as little children because he wants us to participate. He wants us to fully partake. He's saying, look, this communion that I'm setting up, it's not just for tonight. It's not just for tonight. It's actually for the kingdom. It's for eternity. In fact, I'm doing this to set up a dwelling place of communion. And I'm bringing you into a communion that nobody can take you out of. The devil cannot pluck you out of God's communion with him. That's what I'm doing. I'm setting up a dwelling. It's the household of God. I'm inviting you into it. I'm preparing many rooms for you, that you would be with me, that you'd be able to remain with me. I want you to be with me through all of it. I've given you of myself, of my strength, my very body. And I've given you my blood of the new covenant, that you can move with me through all of this, that you can make that same passage. He wants it so that we can enjoy his presence for eternity and we can begin to bear the kind of fruit that he does on the cross, even through pain. To be with him even through pain, maybe even especially through pain. He's doing this before he's about to suffer. I want you to come into the communion before I suffer, and I want you to remain with me fully attentive. Could you keep awake with me through all of this? Can you stay by my side without scattering? Not because just that I want you to be with me, which I do, because I want the love of my friends, but also because I want you to receive the love that will heal the very wounds that you see inflicted upon me. The things that kept Peter away, it was a fear. It was a fear that maybe he would get hurt. So he denied the Lord and he ran. Perhaps it was a fear of humiliation. The Lord was humiliated. Perhaps it seems like he was afraid of the suspicion of the servant girl. He's afraid of suspicion. We're afraid of suspicion. We're afraid of actually being cast out of the world in a way. It seems that Peter's afraid of being cast out of the world. And he has the communion of God. We are often afraid that we'll lose the wrong communion and then we don't enter into the real communion. And we're not with him who is so with us, even in our pain, even in our fear, even in our abandonment. Jesus in the book of John hints at how we can be with him in the midst of this. Because all of the healing that the disciples could not receive in their own strength, despite their protestations, all that that healing was through his suffering in the garden and his persecution throughout Good Friday, all the way to his death on the cross, all of the ways in which they failed to be with him, just a couple exceptions, are now available to us. He says to the disciples when he's preparing them in the last moments in the Gospel of John that I'm going away because I want to send you a helper. You need to ask for help. If you ask for help in my name, that help will come, and I will not leave you orphaned. And no one will be able to take you out of my presence. No one will be able to take you out of my communion. But we must ask for help. And if we ask for that help, that we be with him, then we have the dwelling with him. Then we have his presence. Then we can be with him completely. And all of those deep fears that represent pain that we've had in the past that we don't want to repeat, all of the sins that we have also committed of our own abandonments and hurts towards others, all of those can be healed as we remain close to him, remain with him in the fullness of this communion that he is offering. Let us pray. Lord, you have drawn deeply near to us. You have covered the entire world of sin with your blood. And we, Lord Jesus, want that blood to mark the doorposts of our own hearts. Lord Jesus, we know that you are our safe passage and that you go with us through this pain. And in your Spirit, you are with us. We are not left alone. You are with us. And Lord Jesus, we do ask you to come deeply within us, to begin to speak through your Spirit the words that you spoke then in ways that we can receive more deeply than we ever have before. Lord, we pray that as we come to your table, we pray that we would receive the strength of your body and the cleansing of your blood, and that we would be fully united with your Father and the Spirit through you. Lord, we pray that we would enter into this communion and that we would not withdraw at all. Whether we watch or we sleep, Lord, let us be with you these 3 days through the entire work of your salvation. Open up our hearts, Lord Jesus. Open up our hearts, Lord Jesus. Flood them with your love. Drive out the fears that cause us to withhold ourselves, to not be fully with you. Lord Jesus, open up the heavens and send down your Spirit that we would be filled and that we would dwell with you so deeply as you have dwelt so deeply with us. We pray this in your holy name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.